thank you, thank you, thank you. Your name, your name, your name, your name, your name, your name. It's about your name. It's about your name. Oh, it's about your name. It's about your name. We look at the world this morning in your name, by your spirit. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for clarity and understanding. Thank you because our lives are greatly enriched to walk in that which you've ordained that we should walk in. This is your plan. We fully agree with it. We give all the praise to you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we worship. Amen. Turn around, welcome one or two people this morning. Good to see you. Glory to his name forever. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. All right, James chapter 1. So we want to continue looking at what the redeemed of the Lord says. What the redeemed says. Okay. What the redeemed says. James chapter 1. We continue today. And what we're focusing on majorly is what our confession of faith is. That's what the redeemed says. There's a confession of faith. And we're not going to leave it to chance that we know what that confession is. But by time, there are things that God emphasizes to us to focus on, that particular area of our faith that we need to focus our attention on so we can actually get results that line up with what we're trusting God for and we're believing God for. So in James chapter 1, I read from verse 16. It says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of fading. Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature." So we said that of his own will simply means it was his plan from Genesis that you and I should proceed from the seed of his word. Now, James will say, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." If you go to 1 Peter, look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter, of course, Peter is after James, isn't it? All right, so see what it says. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and one abided forever." Now, the word incorruptible means not subject to failure. It says you were born again of a substance not subject to failure. Now, it's not subject to failure in the sense that it was spoken as a prophecy in the Holy Scriptures, Genesis, Malachi. It was accomplished in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So it has been fulfilled. It has worked. See, the word of God has worked. It has produced me in Christ Jesus. So it says, being born again out of corruptible seed is making a comparison. That the same way you use natural things to explain spiritual realities, we'll use natural seed to explain that God also has seed. And what you do with the seed is that you plant it for a desired harvest. So James will say, being born again. Now, I explain the word "again" to us. Doesn't mean you are born a second time. It's old English for above. Being born from above. That's Greek word anoten. So it says, being born from above, not of corruptible seed. So the seed from which you were born came from above. Now, James will call that same seed the word of truth, or the word of what? Reality. Hallelujah. So anything in God's realm is reality. Pay attention. Anything within our physical realm is subject to change. Buildings are subject to change. The weather is subject to change. Of course, men around you are subject to change. But the word of God lives and abides forever. In that sense, you were born again of that incorruptible or unfailing seed. And that's one of the reasons why it seems where we are meant to focus or concentrate our attention the more or the most is where we usually concentrate our attention the least. The greatest thing God has done is give back to you and I. Out of that greatest thing, there are great things that you and I are meant to experience in line with what God has done. So James, who is a pastor, was a pastor of the church at Jerusalem, quite a large congregation, is teaching us that of his own will, look at where he began from. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Don't be misled. Don't be subject to delusion or deception. Every good gift, and we also said last week, the word "gift" there actually means every good giving, out of which proceeds the perfect gift or the gift that perfects, is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither what? shadow of thorny. So the same way God is not subject to variations, the seed produces exactly what's designed to produce. So verse 18 again. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of one first fruits of his creature. So last week we said, the word first fruit simply means there's a promise of more. There's a promise of more. So if you are born again, there is more that will come from that source. That you are born again is proof that there's more. So we saw Romans chapter 8 last week in verse 23. How many remember what we saw last week? The message is uploaded. Where's Baragite? Are they uploaded already? Not yet. Okay, so I think we said we should go get the message. That's what we said. How many of us were able to get the message? Okay, so I can see number of us which hands are raised. If you have not gotten the message, what is on your phone? This phone has about, is it 256 gig? I think about 200 is messages. So the others are for apps and other things. But this phone is a mobile. It's not for fashion. When I go on retreat, I carry it along. And if I show you the number of messages that are on this phone alone. So I buy new phones for that purpose. I don't do competition. If it's working, I keep using it. I'm not that, okay, is it what's the phone? I didn't know. Is it iPhone 17? I think it's iPhone 15. Let me Google one. But I know, is it functional? Can it do what I want? So I use a phone that has solid memory capacity. And I need a phone that can play out if I need to, even though I use earbuds. So I use a phone for what it can do in my life. Because the calls you are making and you are calling me, if it doesn't bring credit alert, it doesn't pay me. So the one that will pay me is the one I'm listening to when nobody's calling. I hope you understand. Somebody called me and said, Pastor, I've been calling your phone. I said, he's on flight mode. Sorry, because I'm listening to message. And each time you people call you to interrupt the message, that's how I live my life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Let me tell you what that means. Man will not come alive on natural things. He comes alive by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the living God. And as you listen to the general word, what proceeds, the rhema, will come forth as you are listening. I need something specific for my life. I can't joke with my life. Satan is not playing around, so I can't afford to play around. I hope you understand. You are in spiritual warfare. So, and the greatest deception is to think that life is just jolly, jolly. There's spiritual warfare. And the word of God is the sword of the spirit that we use in the place of prayer. So you need to understand that you need to take care of yourself, which is your own personal life. You are responsible. So we feed you, but we have to eat the food. So I'm not one of those people who cooks food and just tastes and doesn't eat. Me, I eat. In fact, most of them, I'm ready food before I come. So it's because I'm food, that's why you can eat. It's not I will not eat. No, that's the way it works. Because God is not going to say, because you're a preacher, something should not happen. No, the same word you are believing is what I'm believing. I'm standing on the same truth. We are joint ears, not senior ears. And there's no senior here. No, everybody is the same word we're all using. Same word. There's no uncle in the faith. There are people who are older than us in the faith, but you know, we're all born of the same incorruptible seed. It doesn't make one senior, one junior. That's in the natural. So if you are born on the same quality seed, the results we see in your life is how much you have applied. The results we see is how much you have applied. That's what it means. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth that we should be a kind. So you are a kind of first fruits. And we said, the spirit of Christ in you is what? First fruit. Or it is a promise of more where that came from. So in the realm of reality that we have in Christ, there's much more for you to experience than what you have what? Experience. Say amen. So James is giving us a guideline. Look at where it begins from. He says, look at verse 13. Let me just go read it. Later. Let no man say that's where trouble is. It matters what you say because it will govern your experience. It matters what you say. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm what? Tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Now, you need to understand that James also, as an apostle, James is laying down New Testament doctrine. And James is telling you, from what he was taught by Jesus, in Luke chapter 24, when they were all taught and Jesus began to explain the scriptures to them from verse 44. And he told them, these are the words which I said to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled. And he took them through the law of Moses and the Psalms. Began to explain to them. So from that understanding, which included Genesis, James is now saying, let no man say when he is tempted. Which man said this? Adam did. Don't be like Adam. That's what he's telling you. Now, in contemporary language today now, don't also fall into the same trap when challenges come your way and assume God is behind it. No. When it is God, he has only one signature. Every good gift and what? Every packet is from where? From above. Let me say it in James' language. James is saying, what Adam was offered was the opportunity to sin. What God offered in Christ is the opportunity to be saved. Hallelujah. Every good gift and what? Every perfect gift. That's the tree of life in Genesis. It comes from where? From above. So there was something that came from here that Adam succumbed to. There was something that came from what? Above, that was meant to come to. So now that you have accepted what's from above, from that same source, there are other good things that would come from that place. Philemon, verse 6. Philemon and verse 6. We're going to come here now. Philemon and verse 6. Now the communication of thy faith. Now, the word faith here also stands for what you have believed, the nature which you have received. Say, I've received the nature of God, which is to love. So, one of the things we communicate is what? Love. In fact, it's a major thing we communicate. If I say to communicate your faith, I also mean to communicate your what? Love, which is what you have already received. So, it says that the communication of your faith, which is what? To share, to bring to others. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing, which is where? In you, in Christ Jesus. So there are good things. Say there are good things in me. Say there are good things in me. Bad things can't be found in me. Only good things can be found in me. Now, so there are good things in you. It says that the communication of your faith become effectual by the acknowledging. So acknowledge means to have full comprehension, to have precise knowledge of those good things so that you can learn to see them. There are things that are in you. That they are in you doesn't mean they will suddenly show up. There is an acknowledgement, which is from the Greek word epignosis, which is precise knowledge. I know this is my reality. Therefore, by my speech, it will become my experience. Let me say it again. It's not wishful thinking. It's not, I hope this works. No. Acknowledgement simply means you realize this is true of me because I'm in Christ Jesus. For instance, when you hear a believer says that, no, Pastor, I can't forgive that. The problem is in the statement. It's not that you can't. It's actually that you won't. And that's a function of your will. And that's also a function of what you have acknowledged, what you have chosen to acknowledge. But what does the Bible say concerning you? It says you are kind, you are tender-hearted, you are able to what? Forgive. Hallelujah. Let me say this in person. I sense to say that. For every single time you have the opportunity to act on God's word, and you pass it up, there will be consequences. Did you hear what I said? Every single time you have an opportunity to act on God's word. When I say consequences, I'm not talking about something bad. I'm talking about the fact that you will lose an opportunity for growth and increase. Because that same opportunity that you took up at that time, it will show up in another area that will bring about promotion. So the first time it showed up, you won't know you have grown until it's time, like Joseph, to stand in the palace. Do you understand? So what God does is that all those attributes, which is nature of God, there is no law against that nature that can work successfully against it. There's no law. That nature is the incorruptible seed. So as long as you allow it to manifest, there is nothing on the earth that is designed to successfully overcome that nature. So every time you step away from it, you have taken one step in the direction of corruption or where failure abides. That's what you have done. So when we say love your brother, your sister, or walk in love, let go of a grudge. Don't hold on to a slight. Don't hold on to something that was done against you. You are actually helping yourself, not them, because you are growing. And sometimes you don't feel like. Do you know sometimes you need to confess that you are forgiving? I hope you understand that your confession works like that. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have forgiven Saturday. I forgive her of everything she's ever done. If the thought comes back again, you say it again. You know what you are doing? You are acknowledging every good thing which is where? In you, in Christ Jesus. It is like me to forgive. I'm like my Father. I walk in forgiveness. I don't hold on to bitterness. I keep no grudge against anyone. I'm a love being. Everything inside me sings at the joy and the promotion of others. I'm not envious. I'm loving, I'm kind. What you're doing is that you're using your words to draw out that virtue that's in you. Now, notice what James says again. Go back to James, please. Of his own will begat he us. That's James 1 and verse 18. Begat he us with all, that we should be a kind of first fruits creature. Wherefore, or for this reason, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So, getting to the area of wrath is controlled by what you hear, is affected by what you speak. So, before you get to the point of being angry, you must have heard something, and likely you will say something, and then anger is made manifest, but or consequences are made manifest. But let me read on, see what it says now. But for the wrath of man walketh not what? The righteousness of God. So, again, what righteousness means? The right action of God. So, what was the basis of our salvation? God's right action. What's that right action? He raised Jesus from the dead. Romans chapter 10. Let's read from verse 6. Or let's read from verse 3. Romans 10 from verse 3. See what it says. Oh, verse 2 from context. Verse 2. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they've been ignorant of God's righteousness or God's right action. So, what was God's right action? He raised Jesus from the dead. They were ignorant and going about to establish their own righteousness. They've not submitted themselves to that right action of God, or they didn't accept the resurrection. They didn't accept it. Look at next verse. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for what? Righteousness to everyone that believes. For Moses describes the righteousness of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall what? Live by them. That means you live by earning righteousness. You live by earning God's approval. You are ordering your life in such a way that you will earn divine approval based on your own effort. But look at next verse. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not where? In your heart. So, we have conversations where? In our heart. We do. And as we go on, I will show you something very important. Sometimes, when you start out on the journey of regularly confessing God's word, the reason why there's not an instantaneous manifestation on the outside is because the internal conversation and the one on your lips must align. They don't always align immediately. You know, well, sometimes you're speaking, you're first trying to persuade yourself. So power is not going out. What you are doing is that you are trying to command obedience on the inside. The way you feel and what you are saying are two different things. How many of you have been there before? They are two different things. So it says, say not in your heart. So there are conversations also in the heart before it reaches the mouth. Now, you can use what is on your lips to change what is in your heart. Your heart is designed that way. You can use God's word upon your lips to change what is in your heart. You can. In fact, you can try an experiment. If there's something that constantly makes you afraid, you can change the image in your heart by the words of your lips. What are you putting upon your lips? The incorruptible word. The word of reality. It doesn't fail. It's all encompassing. That's your reality. The Bible says God has not given you the spirit of what? Fear. But of power, of love, and what? You know, people have fear of very strange things. I think they call them phobias. And there are different names for them now. So, I told you before about the brother that kills snakes but runs away from cockroaches. You know, when it comes to logic, you know, it doesn't make sense. Which one should you run away from? He kills snakes and runs away from cockroaches. You feel like, how? Now, in his mind, there's something about cockroaches that's just terrifying. I used to know somebody also. Anything that's called footbridge, he won't cross. So every time he just feels that he's going to fall inside. The way some of you are looking like, you're among them. He said, once you just pass, he just asked me, I'll fall. Now, you don't, I know somebody else who is out of the country now. His greatest fear was fear of flying. And he's out of the country. So, judge whether he has overcome it or not. How can you be having international appointments and you're afraid of flying? You need to face it and deal with it. And sometimes we think all we need to do is just pray. No, many, many times. This equipment under your nose is not for talking alone. And not for eating alone. It's a weapon. This is God's battle axe. Under these two nostrils. The same one you are using casually for gossiping. It's God's vent for tremendous power. Look at the power that came into your life when you believed in your heart. And you confess with you. Look at the kind of power that entered. Let me say something very important. The power that entered also enter silently. You didn't even shake. And yet the Bible calls it the exceeding greatness of his power towards what that believe. It happened in the invisible, the unseen part of you. It was so strong, it gave you a new past. A new history in Christ. You are now called Christ. You are called the temple of living God. That's what you are called from that confession. So that you are not seeing anything on the outside doesn't mean it's not working. It's working. That kind of power came into your life by that simple admission. I believe in my heart. And therefore confess with my mouth that God has what? Raised him. What did I confess? Something I know God has done. Listen, not something I'm hoping God will do. Because he did it, I can say it. In that sense, that principle follows you throughout life. Has he made provision for your health? Yes. What do you do? Wait for him to come and heal you? No. You put the word of life upon your lips. The interesting part about health, among every other thing, is that literally any scripture you meditate on, you will be healed. I know somebody was just singing, you are the Lord that he let me. No scripture. But is that in the Bible? Yes. I hope you know that's that. No, it's in the Bible. Where is it? But he didn't know scripture. He was singing that song. That was what he knew. Was he healed? Yes. Someone says, is it true that God heals us? Yes. So the word you are confessing is the word of reality, not the word of wishful thinking. I may not be able to confess that God will give me an aeroplane. I may not be able to because I've not seen it. And the journey is going to take for my heart to agree. It's long. So I will wait for the one that my heart can agree with. I don't even understand. No, you need to be honest with yourself. But the one I can see clearly that God has done, he has given, that I'm a possessor of. So I confess God's word to possess that salvation. Now I'm a possessor. I confess because I now possess a particular reality which must come into my experience. Hallelujah. Let me say that again. So I confess to become a possessor. Now that I'm a possessor, what do? I confess to experience what I possess. Say, I have health. I have soundness. Eternal life is mine. Glory to God. There is no fear in eternal life. This is the perfect love of God. He cast out fear. So many times you need to confront fear, Adam. God has not given you spirit of timidity, but of power, of love, and what? A sound. Now, you've accommodated the fear long enough, doing nothing about it. Some of us can't sleep if they put off the light. It came from somewhere. What are you afraid of in the dark? That's the question. You know, I used to ask when we were younger. I used to ask my parents back then, when we were watching films. I don't like horror films till now. There's enough horror in the environment. So, you don't need a film to communicate that one to me. So when I see people being killed in films, when I was much younger, I would ask my parents that, is that actually, is it there? Is that how they just killed him? My father said, no, it's film trick. It's just film trick. It's not true. So when you watch so and so film, you will see him again in that film. Now to me, I didn't need to see Bruce Lee in this film and that film. I said, yes, that's true. But he died in this film. He said, he didn't really die. So what they then said, they were just forming like he died. So he didn't really die. So that thing that appeared, they say, it's not true. They just reacted it. So now, you just finished watching the other film. You can't go to the bedroom again. By yourself. Do you know that there's nothing inside that bedroom? There's no, even in the room that is like there's nothing there. You know what is actually there? It's in your mind as you are going. What you're afraid of is where it follows is in your mind as you are going. So what you need to do is do something to your mind. You renew your mind. I'm going to say something now again. Stop, because I don't know why I'm going this direction. What is scary about the graveyard? I see. I didn't say according to Nollywood, according to God's word. What is scary about who did they put in the graveyard? Those who are dead people. Okay, so what the Bible says about those who are dead? Their spirits have departed, isn't it? So what is in the graveyard? Someone is a pastor. I cannot even go inside the mug. Because you see, bones and rotting flesh. Remember, pastor, that graveyard is far. Even mug, I can't go inside. Now, why should the living be afraid of the dead? When I say living, I'm not talking about breath in your nostrils. I mean, you are alive in Christ. You are complete in who is the head of one principality and what? Power. At the very worst in the mug, you raise the dead. And you have the life in you to raise the dead. So what are you afraid of about the mug? Is something your mind tells you that way? Okay, if he stands up, what will happen? Now, I said all that to let you know where your mind is. Now, do you see why we need to what? Renew our... You know, you feel like, now when they say it's for church, we are alive in Christ. My brother, don't go to Mogo. That's how you value experiences. When we grew up in the faith, there was this testimony, is a terrible one that was passed around, that they wanted to cast out the demon. He now spoke. He now slapped. You know, it's not true. It's not true. There were some movies I stopped watching. Christian movies. My wife knows. Because one of the reasons why I stopped watching, because let me tell you why. The Bible says that in Luke chapter 18, Jesus said that God is quick to answer. The image, the portrait of God, when they cast a charm on somebody, he's paralyzed instantly. Then they take him to church. 6 months, they are still praying. What kind of thing is that? What is that exactly? You know, it's robbing you of your faith. So God is now taking that. God is slow. So you are having more power in jazz when you finish watching the film. That's what has happened. But you know, that's the consciousness of the writer of the script. That's how they see God. It will take time. The worst one was the one that he was serving God. My wife said it's not funny. He was serving God. He now made one mistake. And he confessed it to someone. But because he didn't confess before the whole church, he now went to hell. I said, that's not my God. That's not my God. God is a profitable businessman. But some people watched that movie and barely believed. And what he produced was fear, not confidence. Bible says, perfect love cast out fear. That's not our Father. But that's what men are saying about God. So he said, be swift to hear, be slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce what? The right action of God. It does not. And this is where those kind of things are planted as a stronghold. And you won't even know it's planted. You want to marry someone and her parents are Muslims and she's a believer. Pastor, can we do nikah? No problem. You are honoring the parents. Before God, you are a believer. It's a temple of God and temple of God coming together. That nikah is ceremony. I hope you know. Pastor, no. They will not say something about us. Let them say. You are too blessed because. And some things you just fret unnecessarily. Hey, they say, I'm going to nikah. And I'm a Christian. You are asking for a hand from my parents. The parents have a right to. When you collect from my parents, you can go to church. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. It doesn't affect what you are. There's some things that are just traditional. It's not necessary. Is she a temple of God? Yes. Are you a temple of God? The 12 of you are sanctified. Just go and honor the parents. So these are things that has a lot to do with renewing what? Our minds. That's all. How can you marry someone whose father is a herbalist if she's born again? That's all. Somebody said, Pastor, like it's not genuine. I said, it's not like, I don't know whether there's something left. What is left? She has shaved fatherhood. It's like the Spirit of God wants me on another journey today. We need to break some traditions. An idol is nothing. In my own town. Because people collectively believe it over a period of time. Hence, it has been enforced. You know, from people saying one thing after the other, everybody that eats so will always die. After many people say it, it becomes what? Established. You can reverse it. Hallelujah. No weapon that's fashioned against you shall prosper. You've already eaten of life. Death has no power over you again. You've eaten the bread of life. Hallelujah. In your path there is life and there is no death there. Glory to God. That's what you are meant to acknowledge. Every good thing which is what? In that resurrection, you are came with spirits and powers. So what you are acknowledging now is what you have where? In the resurrection. When your natural lineage. Go back to James. Hallelujah. See, we've taken it the third this morning now. Because even the way where you people are, I can tell. So verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart what? All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, engrafted word, which is able to save you. So let me rephrase that again. The word that has already saved you, which he also called the word of truth, which Peter calls incorruptible seed, it has saved you. It now has ability to renew your mind. Let me say it again. That same word by which you are saved, you were saved. Now that you're saved, that same word, you expose your heart to over a period of time so that it can do something to your heart. Glory to God. Now, the fastest way to expose your heart is to put it upon your lips. It's a pastor. The person I'm talking about is a pastor, someone here I respect a lot, and spoke about the fact that when he got born again, there was a particular habit he was struggling with, and he was smoking. And he used to smoke, and he used to really get upset about the fact that he couldn't quit it. So, when he got a hold of the message of declaring God's word, because how did you get saved? You believed in your heart, you confessed with your mouth. How do you continue in the faith? You believe in your heart, you also what? Confess with your mouth. So he said, he began to declare, I hate smoking. Even when he would still go to the mala, buy a light, as he's smoking it, I detest smoking. I don't smoke. Nothing in me desires tobacco. I love the Lord. I walk in the statutes. He was confessing it. Now, when you first start out, it will look as though it's not working. Imagine somebody confessing, I detest smoking, and he's smoking. You know, because your challenge, what people want to do is, they want to force yourself to stop. But the habit of smoking is not on your lips. It's connected somewhere in your heart. The disconnection has started from where? Inside, not outside. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. You are treating the symptoms, you have led the root cause. The root cause is inside. That's where the problem is. And only one thing can get to that inside. Only God's word can circumcise on the inside. So he was smoking, he was confessing. He had learned the secret that don't think because you are still smoking, something is not working at the root. It's like what Jesus said to the fig tree. No man eat any fruit of thee from here on after. When they left, no sign on the outside. But when they came back the next day, they noticed from the roots. What has happened? So if you look at the leaves, what will happen? Still looking fresh. But when you look at the, what has happened? They are dried up. That means the source has been affected. But what do you see on the outside? Oh, leaves are still green. No, the source has been killed. So he was confessing. He said he didn't know, because when you first start out, you'll be focusing. Is that a result? Is it working? He said when the results started showing up, he had forgotten. He was just now confessing. It was now become a big part of him. He said he had passed the malam where he normally buys before he remembered that for 2 days he had been passing and there was no urge to stop by, because the word of God is supernatural. He had forgotten. It took like 2-3 days before he realized that he had been passing by the same. Because when he's passing by, it's like somebody's a voice speaking to him, come and buy me. The voice had been silenced. There was no attraction again from the malam. He didn't even know he had passed the malam. Something that was a compelling force. It's either the smoking takes God's word from your lips, or the word of the lips is strong enough to what? Remove the urge to smoke from you. It's the same thing with every single habit you may have. Every single habit. That you're a Christian and you have bad habits doesn't mean it's over. No. It simply means God's word is given to you upon your lips, which is where it affects every area of your life, to cut to the root of the matter. And dryness starts from the roots before you see the fruit where? On the outside. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you can start a project on your own. If it's fear, cut off the root of fear. If it's greed, cut off the root of greed. If it's any other despicable habit, cut it off from the root. Listen, if you're giving to pornography or masturbation, let me tell you, if you go and dodge all your tapes, we collect all your tapes you are watching, we should not be working, or we block all the sites on your phone, if it's your phone, you will find a way. An habit is a habit. It's an addiction. You will still find what? A link. You will find a link. No, we're not there. So true liberty is that whether we're there or not, you are free. I hope you understand what I'm saying. All this one of us remove all pornographic material from, don't watch things. So that is after you are free. So that you won't get back into it. The major one is that we need to get to the root. Something was planted. We need to what? uproot it. How do we uproot? By the word of God. By the word of God. And crying over it. It's like wallowing in the river of condemnation. You will never be free. Oh God, you see that? I don't like this thing. I don't like this thing. You will do more. Because the crying is that you are not accepting who God says you are, being born again. A lot of corrupt people say, I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. I'm a holy nation. I'm a peculiar people. I've been called out of darkness. Satan has no authority over me. I'm walking his marvelous light. In his marvelous light, no evil habit has a hold over my soul. Keep saying it. The urge for anything contrary will die on the inside of you. In that area, the spirit within you kills. In that one, God kills and makes alive. It can kill evil desires. Hallelujah. It can uproot the roots of things that are not edifying in your life. It can. By the same word, it can. That's why when people have issues, never as a minister, because you are not their Lord, never minister condemnation. Minister what? Life. Remind them of who they are first, so they can know what to place upon their lips. You are not what you are doing. You are who God says you are. And who God says you are supersedes anything you are doing. And when you understand that you place upon your lips, it will overtake whatever it is that you're doing and you're not doing right. Are you back in James? James again. Okay, let's move forward now. So it says, verse 21, therefore lay apart all filthiness and receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Don't wait to verse 25, please, quickly. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues. You see the word there in italicized. He continues. He be not what? A forgetful era, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed. How does he get to do? He will have to first say. How does he get to say? He will have to first hear. How does he get to hear? He says, receive with meekness. What do you receive with meekness? The word of truth, which is what gave you birth. So, receive or keep hearing about the supernatural nature of the seed that gave you birth. Keep hearing. So your consciousness will be full of the fact that God's power is alive and at work in you. Keep hearing. One of the greatest instructions Satan has given to the church is to make people think that now that I'm saved, God's word is not a priority. No. That's where your life forces from. That's what feeds you. That's what strengthens you. That's what causes you to live victoriously. At all times. Not sometimes. And that's why the Old Testament says are what you call types and shadows and examples are the areas for us. Yeah, types and shadows. You have to see yourself the way God sees you, and the best way to do so is to put it where? Upon your lips. You believed once to be saved. What is next is persuasion. Persuasion where? In your heart. So that your walk can reflect all the realities of who you really are where? In Christ Jesus. Say, I'm prosperous. Everything about me speaks success. I'm making supernatural progress. The hand of God is strong upon me. I'm making supernatural progress. Every day of my life, I experience divine favor. God's mercy shines through. I can never be alone. Hallelujah. You want to be more conscious of angelical sisters? Keep declaring their presence. Keep declaring their presence. That's what you do. You don't wish it. You say it regularly. And it has to be a schooling. You have to school yourself. You say it regularly. So, whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty. What's the law of liberty? The incorruptible seed. The word of truth by which we were born. You continue. That is, you stay there. You sit there. That's actually the work. You not being a forgetful. Forgetful means somebody who ignores what he has been told. How do you ensure you don't ignore? You have to hear it more than once. You have to hear more than once. So, let me ask now. In your daily diet, on a weekly basis, how much of God's word do you keep hearing? Because that's the measure that will govern what will be upon your lips. That's the measure that will govern what will be upon your lips. It's just automatic. So, if you are not seeing as much result as you should, is there a way you can do an estimation of what you have been seeing? This is the month of April. This is the 21st, am I right? Of April. So from this month, let's say in the last 2 weeks or so, can you do an estimation of what you have been saying consistently, if you can remember? And check whether it is actually in line with your inheritance or it's outside of your inheritance. You'll be shocked. If there was a way for us to do a survey of what you say at the end of every working day, maybe you'll be shocked that the percentage of God's word that's there is low. So let me say this way. Why then do you expect the supernatural at all times? When you hardly speak about the supernatural, that's where the challenge is. Do an estimation. Just do a survey. In fact, between now and Wednesday, do a small survey on your own. Check what did you say from Monday to Wednesday. That means you can't do it. It has to be deliberate. It has to be deliberate. Glory to God. It has to be deliberate. You confess to allow God's power to come inside of you. Guess what? By the same confession, many times we allow God's power to flow out of us. Have you been to minister before and everything in the environment is telling you nothing's going to happen here today? Even you that want to minister, you are feeling feverish. You have not been discouraged before. That when they are introducing you, you've not been there before that. Well, there's somebody here who says God has called him. That's how you were introduced. You now wonder, I didn't say God has called me. That's how you have not been to those forums before. If you are affected by what men say like that, you have not been speaking to yourself, because that's not the time you say, I'm God says I am. No, you have done that one before you came in the place of prayer and declaring, it doesn't matter how I feel, I'm a reservoir of God's power. God works mighty works of healing through me. When I lay my hands on the sick, they recover. Hallelujah. Wherever I stand, the glory of God is made manifest. It has to be, you have to use words to bring it what? Forth. This is how God expects us to live on a daily basis. Even when you have to go to the hospital, you have to trust God's grace and God's words, wisdom. Doctors can be wrong. Am I not saying the truth? Doctors can be wrong. I don't know how many people have prayed for that to do surgery. And I prayed that God will guide the hand of the doctors. And angels of God will be present. There will be a supernatural atmosphere. No mistakes will be made. You know, we lost somebody some years ago, and I was really puzzled. No, well, I wasn't puzzled after. I wasn't in town when it happened. I wasn't in town. I really wish I was in town. I wasn't in the country that time when it happened. But I went to visit him once or twice, and the next time I came to visit him, and that's why sometimes when you have certain challenges, particular health challenges, don't go telling everybody. Inform the stakeholders only. You know what I mean by stakeholders? Your immediate family members, and not even every family member. Because not everybody can handle me as well. I don't want people to think that if I write to everybody, everybody will pray for me. No. Sometimes 70% are not wishing you dead. Not that they think evil of you. When you told them, the fear in their heart is greater than when you own it. When they hear the name of disease, so is that we're going to lose this brother? Hi. That's the person who wants to pray for you. That's the person I think you should pray for. Look at what he's saying. So this is how we're going to just. Oh, yeah. And he's very young. This brother is very young. God. Now listen. God have mercy. Is that prayer? He's not believing anything. Ha! Kai. Should he have been this brother? This brother is so good in church. That's what he's saying. That's the person I think he should pray for you. That's concluded on your funeral. There's something you just keep quiet. And say to only stakeholders, people that you know that can. You know, inform everybody. Even sometimes the local assembly, you won't inform everybody. It's your life we're talking about. I went to visit him. Then I saw a book, I shall not die. I saw another book. When I saw those books, somebody thinking was helping him introduced that brought fear. That brought fear. I don't want to help people like that. Because it's not that God's power is not able to deliver. Many times we find the answer in what they've accepted unconsciously. They thought they were helping him, but they were not. It was fair. None of us was thinking death at all. We're thinking life. Now he's thinking death now. That's how it comes. The enemy sneaks in. So people that are bringing those books to you, what are they thinking about you? That's the problem. And this is how the enemy comes in subtly to introduce things to you. And once fear comes, it, so to speak, arrests the power of God from working. So you have to be on your guard and be what careful. What is on your lips on a consistent basis? If you can have 70% of God's word upon your lips regularly, it will amaze you how your life will turn out. Leadings will be normal on a daily basis. Angelic assistance will be normal on a daily basis. The favor you're talking about that happens once in a while will be consistent in your life. Why? There is nothing on the earth that can resist the authority of God's word. Nothing. There's nothing yet. Nothing. Human connections, associations, government policies, everything aligns. Yes, they said the market is falling, but God didn't say you will prosper if the market is falling. He said you will prosper, period. No condition. That means when it comes to you, whatsoever you do it. whatsoever he doeth, he shall. Nobody is doing so and so again. Not you. You are different. You operate on a different frequency. Whatsoever he doeth, this man shall be blessed in all his deed. That means the hand of God will be upon. What are you doing? You've taken the implanted word. It has become your daily confession. It has repositioned your heart also to renew your mind. And so what you are seeing is what God is saying about you. There's a heart and a mouth what? Agreement. Glory to God. There's a heart and a mouth agreement. A law is being set into motion. That's love, the spirit of life in motion in your life. And there's nothing that can stand against that law successfully. It will always produce results. So, you know, we said we're on a 30-day journey, but it looks like many of us didn't start that journey at all. But we're going to the month of May shortly now. In the month of May, for at least 21 days, you must allow nothing to proceed from your lips except the declaration of God's word. Anything contrary should be banished. And let's take an adventure and see what happens. We should be able to estimate and judge what kind of results have you been seeing. Because again, like I said, when we come for special meetings, thank God for laying of hands. Thank God for the impartations. You were given momentum. It carried you thus far, but it was not sustained after a while because you didn't continue with what is meant to be a confession of inheritance on a daily basis. That's the issue. So, I said it again. If you do nothing, you know some people are so blessed. How many people here, you never have malaria? Let me see. You never have malaria. Let me see. Raise it. I'd be proud now. We are celebrating you. You know whether we use it for blood transfusion. Maybe that's what you want to. You don't want to raise your hand. Because when we are looking for blood, we just come to you. Let's change blood. And there are people that don't have, you know, naturally speaking. Now, but most of us, at one time or the other, it comes. Most says, not because you are not in faith, but because you live where? In a fallen world. So, what do you now do? You have eternal life inside of you. Before it ever comes, so that it doesn't even come, what do you do? Now, if doctor tells you, take this medication 3 times a day, religiously. Take one before you eat, one after you eat. You know, some of us are so meticulous. You don't miss it. You even take it more religiously than when you pray. Now, this book of law shall not depart. That's medication. That's medication, isn't it? That means if you take gospel like you're taking tablet, say 3 times a day. What will it do beyond healing and health? There will be prosperity in your life. It will show up in every department. So this blood shall not depart from man. You shall meditate then when? Day and night. So as you go about your business, day and night. And to meditate also means to say, to roar. That's what it means. That is secret. You will make your way prosperous. Then you will have what? Good success. It means once it is in your mouth, regularly speaking, it will begin to chart new adventures for you in life. It will affect your human relationships. It will. You have an issue with your in-laws, there will be sudden peace. No storm can contend with the authority of God's word. No storm. In fact, the beauty part of it is that even areas where you are not consciously believing God for, it will affect it. That's how potent God, what God is. So, all Satan needs to do really most of the time is that it just ensures that we don't pay attention long enough to it or confess consistently. That's what it does. It just weakens your confession. Say, there's power inside of me. There's power inside of me. Exceeding greatness of his power is at work through me. He finds expression the more I declare the word of God. So, you can say God's word is a vehicle for communicating power at all times. Into your experiences, into your life, God's word is a vehicle for communicating what? God's ability, God's power. It's potent, it doesn't fail, and it can never fall to the ground. Glory to God. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 from verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it may be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure toward the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have what? Made thee a father of many nations. Pay attention to that. Before him whom we believe, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they. Now, King James here is extremely important. Look at what he said. He calls those things which be not as though they are. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? As though they are or as though they. Okay, good. You know, there's a difference between are and where. I mean, there's a difference. Now, notice how Paul introduces that thought to us. He says, a father of many nations have I made thee. So when God spoke to Abraham about his name change in Genesis chapter 17, he said, a father of many nations have I made thee. If you're reading Genesis 17, from that time forward, everything God said, on the basis of what I have made you, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this, but on my side, it is settled. So the name change for Abraham was one thing. So that what Abraham will hear himself being called is what God has made him. So it is settled in heaven. Let us settle it on the earth. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I just said? Let me say it again. A father of many nations have I made thee. That's what God said to Abraham. That's what I've done. When was God saying this? When there was no child except Ishmael. No Isaac. God spoke to Abraham about Isaac. Told Abraham, this man will give you a child. And I will make many nations from that child. And there was nothing on ground. That's how God speaks. Now, why was God telling Abraham? So Abraham can be the establishing witness. Say amen. Good. So, a father of many nations have I made thee. Then what is Abraham's part now? He will now act like God. He will call those things which be not as though they were. So Abraham will now go to the council of elders. Change of name. My name is no longer called Abraham. It's now Abraham. And they know what Abraham means. So many will laugh. But what's important is that you have done the official change of name. So that if you call Abraham, he won't answer. If you call Abraham, he will what? Answer. What is he answering to? What God has called him. So he's hearing it as he's saying it. What happened? Strength entered into a body that was dead. To make it what? A reality. Did God say so? Yes. That's your basis for saying it. Let me ask again. Are you protected? Are you shielded from all evil? Has he given angels charge over you? Will you be protected in all areas? Will calamity come anywhere near you? Now, why are you saying it? Is it from wishful thinking or because God has said it here? That's where the charge. If you know God has said it, what do you do? You keep saying it. Now, again, if you don't say it, just listen to the news. And that's all you need. You don't need, just listen to news. And they have it in abundance, isn't it? So, they even take statistics. There were so and so number of accidents in the month of December, last year, Christmas, there was so and so. So it's already there. So before those kind of news comes, create your own news. Good news. Hallelujah. I'm never stranded. I always have assistance. I don't run out of money. I always have abundance. There's no provision for me in this land. I'm going to prosper here, in this same land. And so Abraham went to Egypt. Isaac was told to stay where he was. Isn't it? So there are two different. So you need to understand that. That's why I tell people that if you want to relocate, pray, hear God. You are not like other people. God has a plan for your life. There are people who don't know God's plan for their life. Let them go wherever they want to go. You that God has a plan for your life, you need to hear. So that you won't go there and be struggling. Because you can go there, you're out of place. And that's not the plan of God for you. That's important. That's why in this church, I've never told anybody not to jump. I know if you know. That most people that God allows to go or tells them to go, there's always a plan in God's mind. And let me tell you, let me just say 100%, ministry will be involved. I mean, say you'll be a pastor. I'm only telling that if God tells you to go, he tells you. Not that you got up by yourself. Oh. You know, there are two different things. That most of us, that's what we do. You have started process everything. When is that going to say, God, so what are you saying? What do you want him to say? You say, go and return visa. That's what you want him to say. Go and return visa. You have planned everything. You have borrowed money to relocate. So God, what are you saying? Mercy after death. You know, you are deceiving God. Who are you deceiving God? He's like saying, God, that I will never obey you. I just want to do my own thing. Now that I've done my own thing, please come and bless what I've done. That's what people are doing. And many times, they step out of destiny. So sometimes I don't know how to tell people sometimes. I got delivered from being worked up about the way brethren behave when it comes to some of these issues. Because the same way they do about traveling. The same way they do when it comes to getting married. Sister, this guy, he doesn't attend any church. He's a child of God. It's just that he doesn't believe that one should always congregate. It's just that, yeah, and then he has some issues in the previous. So he's not going to any church for 2 years. I'm just thinking that, well, you know, we can do better. Pastor, no. Sincerely speaking, I've checked my... Pastor Chris said, that I told God I wasn't going to cancel anybody again. And God said, why? He said, they never listen. He said, God said that. Even when they don't listen and they want to get married, still marry them. You know what I mean? You know something's not going to work and you still go ahead and, okay, no problem. That means you have laid your bed. You will lie on it. You'll not come back after. Pastor, the way she's behaving, you feel like bringing out stick. If you leave my office. Leave my office. If I see you in my office. You know, the same thing also. You don't make plans and say, ask God, come and bless it. You're asking for his plans. When believers relocate, check the scriptures. There's a mission in God's heart. Because God is a good father, your prosperity will be packaged in it also. But the first reason why you are going, as far as God is concerned, is not for your prosperity, it's for his prosperity. What he wants to do, because your life is scripted in his plan. And God's plans are always good. And there are people who are prepared for connect. You know, there are some places where you are going. These things you are hearing, they don't have it there. And God wants them to hear. And the reason why he's sending you is not because of the high-paying job you just got. He has some souls in mind that you start to sell when you get there. Start teaching them. They never heard this before. I don't want many believers who left here. What do you want to know? I've told the pastor. It's like, they don't know anything here. He said, me myself, I think I don't know anything, but it's like I know much more. Because God always has his own prosperity, which is blessing men. That's God's first plan. Not that you are going to a better country. No. That's the way God thinks. You need to learn to think the way God wants things. For some people now, to go now, your price for going is money. Let him just offer you money. You even think. When you're on the journey, pastor is like, I won't be around next Sunday. It's like, yes, I've jackpot. It's the will of God. How's the will of God? Pastor, you know how much you're offering me? That's the will of God. You say God wants us to prosper. This is how God is prospering me. They will go to scriptures to you that this is how God is prospering me. No, you didn't bother to ask. Because not every good idea is God's idea. It's so important for you to understand that. And that's one of the reasons why, let me say that, if you keep confessing God's word, let me say this. Even if God doesn't appear to you to tell you exactly what to do, you will be teleguided. Because of your confession, into what you ought to do, pattern, it will literally teleguide you. You just cover that some conversations you won't be there, some associations you will find yourself steered away from it because of what you have been what saying. You will not meet the wrong people in your journey because of what you have already what said. So it has cleared the way for you. Even when you don't want to travel or relocate, and it's God's plan, if you keep confessing, it will be tailoring yourselves in that direction. Opportunities that others. One of our people that left the country, when he went for the interview, when he told me about the interview, and we already knew a year before that he was meant to go, he was the least qualified for an international job among all of them. So when he did the interview, they submitted their documents. They left the other two, they called him. Interview. They offered him a package that they didn't offer anybody else because that was part of what God's plan. He has a ministry there now. He said, Pastor, I'm learning. Why you repeat things? I don't know how many times I've taught this particular thing. We have not gotten it. I said, keep repeating it. Just keep saying it. Because don't assume they heard the first time. Not the second time. Not the third time. Not the fourth time. It's easier to teach new things. It's less labor. To stick the same thing is tremendous labor. Ask those who are taking believers class and mature class. You don't know it's labor. One class in, one class out. You are teaching the same thing. It takes strength to teach the same thing. To teach new things are... From January to December, wow, you map out everything. But every year, we have to teach prayer. We teach how to be led. We teach faith. That is your indirectly. How many of you know that? We teach how to flow. Once believers meeting is coming up in June. Are we not going to teach it? Have you heard about believers meeting before? And some people have just joined us. So I'm going to start teaching as though you didn't hear before. The Holy Ghost meeting. You flow the meeting in January. I'll teach again in July. So you can flow more. Hallelujah. That takes strength to focus on the same thing. That's where labor is. Hallelujah. You will not miss God. In this season, we'll not miss God. We'll be in line with his will, with his plan, with his purpose. It's so important. Lift your hands this morning and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare, I hear your voice. I walk in your paths. I fulfill your plan. Your purpose for me is clear on the inside. I don't hear the voice of a stranger. I follow your voice at all times. I know what to do by your spirit. I am a son. My father's voice is loud in my consciousness. It leads me in the path of pleasantness for his name's sake. I walk in righteousness. I do right things because his grace upon me causes me to make progress. I have the right associations. I'm delivered from all evil. I walk in the right paths. Your angels preserve me. They protect me in the night. They shield me in the day. I walk in your light. And in your light, there's no darkness. In my path is life, and there is no death. Sickness has no mastery over me. Health and soundness are my portion and inheritance in Christ Jesus. I have wisdom. I'm not dull of hearing. I hear my Father's voice very clearly, and I obey his commandments. On the inside of me, I always know what to do. Hallelujah. Give me praise and thanks this morning. Praise and thanks this morning. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will instruct us. We'll walk in his plan. We'll fulfill his will. And we will carry out his counsel all our days in Jesus' name.